Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
So here we go, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Fan Social, the show where the Cowie Army share their thoughts on all things town. I hope you all had a good week. I've had a good one, although it's been bloody cold. But I'm sure not as cold as it is in Norway. We are joined by a special guest in Sindre Larsen and Ben Diaf as we discuss all things town. Kieran McKenna has been in charge of the football club now for 1 year. Where has that gone? 1 year, just in life, it's gone quickly. But Kieran McKenna, what a job he's done so far. Of course, we are proudly sponsored by Manscaped. Use the code KOA with 20% off at the basket and free delivery. And also, for your marketing needs, use Ginger Pickle. Anyway, enough of me. Let's bring in my two guests, starting off with Sindre. Sindre, he's trying to tell me how to say it, but I'm going to go with Sindre because I think it just sounds cool. But anyway, mate, how are you doing?
Thank you for coming on. Yeah, it's no reason to complain. The weather is typical of December over here, so cold and very white. And obviously, it warms to have club football back now after shambolic World Cup. But also entertaining, so I can't complain. Finally, the club football is back, and I look forward to watching the town again this weekend.
Of course, we've been... League One's been still at it, but as you said, yeah, Premier League's been back and other, you know, Championship's been back recently as well. But yeah, we had some risk of snow in Suffolk. Thankfully, it didn't reach us. A lot of people know this. I don't care for snow, but I'm sure it looks pretty and I'm sure you see a lot of it, Sindre, so I'm sure you're sick of it now. But it's great to have you on the show. Ben Diaf, good old Ben Diaf, always a pleasure. If you're watching on video, he has a monster of a Christmas tree behind him. Looks good, my friend. How you doing?
Yeah, very well. Thank you, Ross. Very much into the festive spirit in the Diaf household. Not long to go till we break up in terms of work. And my wife's a teacher, so she can't wait, counting down the days till next Wednesday. And then we're off to Ireland for Christmas. Very much looking forward to that. Plenty of Guinness will be drunk, far too much. Lots of potatoes eaten. And that isn't a stereotype. In the Cody household, they eat lots of meat and potatoes. So I'll come back very full and probably much fatter. But really looking forward to Christmas. So it's a great time of year. We did get snow in Cambridgeshire. And I also don't like it, Ross. It gets in the way of everything. What a pain in the arse. Can't go out for a run. You can't really do much outside at all, can you? So luckily, the Ipswich Mighty Blues won't get their game called off, obviously, last Saturday. And then moving on to Wickham, I think undersoil heating will save us. So looking forward to that. And as you can tell from my tone, I'm really looking forward to Christmas and in good spirits.
Good to hear, my friend. And by the way, your hair is looking sharp this evening. If you're, as I said, watching on video, Ben Diaf's hair and Sindre as well. I think we've all got three very strong hairs here. I've got a bit of a shorter one here, but all looking good hair-wise. So big shout out to us. And that gives you an opportunity to watch some video to see our faces, probably faces for radio, really. But let's talk about Kieran McKenna, boys. Kieran McKenna, 1 year in charge. I want to get your first reactions, really, 1 year on when he got appointed, assistant manager at Man United and all that. You know, we'll link to Neil Harris, John Terry, all those sort of managers. You know, probably Neil Warnock was on that list as well. But Sindre, what was your memories of when he got appointed, when it got announced, a picture of him, boom, Kieran McKenna, new Ipswich Town boss?
Yeah, I was really excited about it, actually. I thought from day one, I always thought that he sounded like the type of manager that the club needed. It's always a cliche to say that he's progressive, young, hungry, wants to play the right way and all those things. But I felt like his background coming from Manchester United under the wings of Ole Gunnar Solskjær, who obviously is Norwegian and we know well. I just thought that he seemed like a very intelligent, intellectual, and a very wise young guy. And I thought that the squad, in terms of ability, suited him well. It was a very technical squad. And so I, from day one, was early out on Twitter writing, obviously in Norwegian, that I thought he was a brilliant appointment and that I felt like this was a perfect fit for a club. So I'm happy to sit here now and say that I got that one right in the end. So, yeah.
Yeah. When it got appointed, a lot of people go, who? Who? Yeah. Who's this guy? Because, I'm sure there's some people who have, you know, in-depth knowledge on different coaches and managers around the football world. But I was very much who. But then when I saw his interview, I thought, this guy, as you said, intelligent. I was blown away with all of what he was saying and even the press conference with all the press as well. Ben, over to you, mate. Once again, your thoughts on when he first got appointed, Kieran McKenna.
Yeah, the initial reaction, I think, like anybody else, is straight away trying to find a little bit more detail. When the name came out, I knew who he was in terms of being on the coaching staff. They like to call themselves the biggest club in the world. I think maybe supporters-wise they are, but not much other reason right now. But there's no doubt. I think it was a great coup for the squad. It was for the club. Sorry, it's brilliant hearing the stories of Ashton coming out about their meeting off the M6 and at the services and how long it took to get it over the line. And I just remember being quite excited. We had sort of run-of-the-mill, experienced, in inverted commas, managers. A lot of them named Paul up until this point, you know, and it was a bit like, oh, you know, they've got a good track record. Hopefully they can bring it to town. And for whatever reason, it didn't work out, many reasons. Really, a really exciting appointment. I know his first couple of interviews, people said that they thought he was a little bit boring. Whereas, again, it's easier to talk sort of after the event. But I just remember thinking so analytical. Like there was a lot of thought, and obviously we've gone on to realise there's so much thought, but you know, into every word that he says, he can describe himself, describe what he's trying to say so well. That is one of his huge strengths. So, yeah, I don't think as well. One thing when he first came across in the press conferences that his tone of voice, the way he carries himself, is exactly the same now as it was on the first day. You know, not too up, not too down. So that's sort of my first impression. He was like a scholar of the game. And I think that's fair to say is how he's continued.
I'm sure he was a little bit nervous as well, because this is his first ever management job. You know, he's been a coach at big clubs like Man United and Spurs and stuff like that. But this is his first job, and having all this press and everyone asking him questions, I'm sure he was a bit nervous for it, but he came across so well. I think I watched, he did like an interview for a YouTube series, I think Coach's Voices. I think we put that in the chat, and I think most people listened to it and they really enjoyed it. And then when he's gone on to do more and more interviews, he's come across so well. He's done a recent good one, of course, with the Liga 72, which, once again, some great stuff in there. Sindre, 50 games plus games now in charge. Many ups, a few downs. But what has been the key moment for you so far? You know, your favourite moment of the Kieran McKenna era?
No, so when you sent me this, the preparations for this podcast, the first thing that jumped off the page for me was the Gillingham away game early on in his tenure, because I remember watching that game with a friend of mine. And I just have to mention that I have a podcast in Norway about the sports betting, and I was picking Ipswich to win that game at decimal odds of 185, and my friend, he's been living with me, tipping about Ipswich for 15 years now. So he knows from experience that I usually always overestimate my own team. So just to sit down in his living room, his expectations ridiculously low after watching the under Lambert and Hurst and Mick especially, where like maybe you got a 1-0 scrappy win against Burton, but it could have been other things that you would have spent the 2 hours doing on a Saturday afternoon. So just especially the first 30 minutes of that game, watching it with my friend Mats, and he was almost gobsmacked of how good and how quickly the team has had improved. And also Shrewsbury away this season, I watched the game with my same friend of mine. I also had a pick on Ipswich for that game, and it was so dominant, free-flowing, and it looked so cohesive. And it's not oftentimes you see football teams who win games that you are reliant on individual brilliance to get the result. But I think it's so clear that this is a team who are so well drilled. The relationships between players, defenders, the keeper and the defenders, the midfield and the defenders, and obviously all the attackers are so, they are so on the same wavelength. And also the fact that you can see the substitutes getting a lot of joy out of seeing the other players succeed. So Shrewsbury away was a really impressive display. And generally, like Ben said, his demeanor and his appearance, he's so classy. And so he's a really a perfect representative for the club. So just in general, you maybe was looking for a bit of a tabloid highlight, but I think just in general, his demeanor and the feeling of the club right now is so much more better and upbeat than previously.
Yeah, definitely, mate. And yeah, he dresses well as well, doesn't he, Kieran McKenna? Last week, I said that, Harvey said Leif Davis smells well, and I said, I'm going to go and see if I can smell Kieran McKenna. So that is still on my plan to do. So maybe I'll get Wickham. If I get close, I'll just have a little sniff and let you know. I don't know if don't know where I'm going with this, Ben. Save me, Ben.
That doesn't sound great, Russ.
Like, you know, just you know when you walk past someone and have a nice aftershave on, and oh, you smell nice, mate. Well, you know, you smell nice. So that's where I'm going with it. That's what
I would
going.
Have thought. He's sort of more of a bloke who just smells really clean. Like, doesn't put too much aftershave on, not too much. Just that's probably even very well thought. He's probably over time found exactly the right amount of aftershave or eau de toilette to place onto his self.
Yeah, and also the fact that I don't think he stresses at all. He's a really relaxed guy, so I don't think he sweats anything more than he needs to. And obviously that will help with your body odor if you are a guy who smells a lot of sweat.
There we go. Yes. We've got a whole podcast here on McKenna and his smells.
Definitely. Pretty much.
Yeah. Thanks, Ben. You saved me just a bit there. Let's segue nicely into your favourite moment. And yeah, Sindre's done a good point there with the Gillingham game, because yeah, how quick was that? That was only his second game in charge, and we're free throwing football, scoring some good goals. Very good afternoon in Gillingham, which is not that often, because yeah, Gillingham is Gillingham. But anyway, Ben, what has been your favourite moment so far?
Yeah, different, which is good for the listeners, if I'm not harping on about the same. Fantastic win, which it was, Gillingham, and very important. For me, I've gone for the Pompey at home this season. And the reason being is we've seen us play a fantastic brand of football and beaten the lower sort of place teams in the division quite comfortably. And it was always so delightful to watch and really feeling comfortable, even when we only had a goal lead. I've never been so comfortable watching Ipswich side for so long, which has been amazing. But we needed a breakthrough win. And although Pompey have slid down the table quite a bit since, and I still think they will mount some kind of playoff charge at some point, depending on who's in charge, if they stick with Cowley or not. I just thought it was a win in a obviously really good crowd, but we really needed it just to prove to ourselves, I think, more than the fans. And yeah, we were all a little bit doubtful. We still thought we needed to beat a big team, in inverted commas, in this division, playing this fantastic brand of football. Could we do it, or did we need to have a plan B? Did we need to change formation? On the day, obviously, Pompey got two penalties. I think we were really good value. And just the reaction at the end, the players, I mean, it maybe was slightly over the top, but I don't think for what it meant to the team. But McKenna as a manager, I think he knew until we get a win like that, people will have a stick to hit him with about us not being able to beat a big team. And I think that was a really huge psychological barrier to get over. So I think that was huge in terms of our promotion push this season. Really good win at Portman Road. It was a fantastic afternoon. Burns with that winner near the end, and obviously we all went mad in the sunshine. So that's my sort of biggest moment with McKenna in charge, and hopefully there'll be many more afternoons like that before May.
Yes, mate. Of course, the big one, we all know, promotion, hopefully, that is the goal. Sindre, just to sort of expand on this chat about McKenna, of course, the boys on the main Flash It show covered all bases, but Is there any other notes you want to mention about McKenna, what you like about him, and just any other thing else you want to add?
No, I think the fact that he's so specific, a lot of managers are always talking cliches. And so obviously I have my own web page and Twitter page where I share a lot of betting tips for, especially in League One. So I use a lot of time listening to managers' interviews and press conferences. And I'm really fond of Steve Cotterill. I think he's an interesting guy to listen to because he is always a bit of a wild card. But they're always talking cliches after a loss. It's always second balls. And it was like, I think there's a lot of cliches. But always with McKenna, you always expect something specific and concrete and maybe something you haven't noticed yourself. The fact that he talked about, I think it was the game against Portsmouth in the Pizza Papa John's trophy, where he talked about the left back becoming the third man in attack and the spare man in attack. So things like that, which I would never expect to hear from a guy like Paul Cook, who's like a very stereotypical English manager, is get the ball forward as quickly as you can and attack with plenty of people and be direct and get traffic in the box and all those types of things. So I feel like McKenna is a really academical manager, but also a really good people's person. So the combination is all you can ask for in a football manager. So I'm really impressed by him, and long may it continue, because I think he can be gone from Ipswich in a couple of years' time if we don't go up to the Premier League, even, because he's bound for bigger and better things than town, unfortunately, I think.
Oh,
maybe that's bloody depressing. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Azid, right?
Of course.
But no, you know, Ben, we've already seen this, haven't we? With you know, Watford and Brighton, those sort of jobs. Of course, you know, McKenna's got a project here, and I'm sure we're not ever worried. But have you ever been a little bit worried at all? Maybe if he does really well. What's your thoughts on that?
It's too soon for him now. He's got to get us promoted, quite frankly. If he doesn't get us promoted, I think people point to, it's an easy thing to do, but they'll point to our budget, our infrastructure, our owners, our, you know, new improved everything off the pitch. And that's one thing I haven't really touched upon. Essentially, he's under an awful lot of pressure. The Ipswich Town job in League One is one of the most pressurised jobs that there is, well, in the division. And you kind of forget that because he doesn't show that much emotion in a good way. This is a compliment. You know, he gives the fist pump when we win and obviously always applauds the crowd, which is great. He doesn't absolutely come out and lambast referees. He just words it carefully. I think that's easy to forget how much pressure he's under. So I'm not worried right now, Ross, but as Sindra just said, that if we get promoted and in the Championship for a season or two without really threatening anything, then I think bigger fish will come calling, and then it's up to him, isn't it? How much is he in the project? How much does he have faith that we can move forward as a football club? Because it will be very rewarding if he managed to get two promotions under his books and establishes Ipswich in the Premier League. What an unbelievable time that would be. But let's not think about that. Let's just enjoy him while he is here, and let's hope he's here for a very long time.
Oh, what a way to end the chat on McKenna. And a big point you meant is a big job. It's a pressure job. League One, Ipswich Town. Yeah, that's a massive job. And it's for his first ever job. He is doing very well indeed. Okay then, boys. It's time for the strike. Sindre, Ben, head-to-head, who is going to come out this week as the champion, the king of kings of the strike. Little reference there for WWE, Triple H, if you know that. Kings of Kings, Triple H. Anyway, four questions plus a tiebreaker if needed. First of all, he propped up on the news the other day. I think Andy did a story on him. And also, it's actually his birthday this month, because, of course, I always bring the strike with birthdays. Josh Harrop. Remember him? Yeah. Had a loan spell at Town. Yeah. Can you remember his shirt number? Was it 27, 33 or 40? Josh Harrop. I think he played 15 games. I think someone put a video up of his shot against Swindon, which was very depressing. And that was a very depressing time, of course. But yeah, Josh Harrop. He's signed for Northampton Town in League Two after he got released recently from somewhere. But I thought it sort of segue nicely into a first Troik question from his birthday this month. Also, he's relevant in the news if people care about former players, where they're going. Anyway, though, boys, what do you reckon?
Where is my... There you go, 27.
The thing is that I actually, the first thing that jumped off the page for me, it was 26, but I have written 40, so I'm probably wrong.
I'm just going to double check. It is 33. It's actually 33.
Is it?
Okay.
Good.
Actually 33. So, 0-0. Both wrong.
Just think of Bar. 33. Just think of Bar.
Yeah,
thank you.
Pretty much.
He shouldn't have been allowed that number. Bart would have been better out on pitch than he would have been for us.
Yeah, I think so too. Bart's not even playing for Milton at the moment. He's on the bench.
Yeah.
But I don't know why, and I won't. Yeah, it is what it is. Question two is on now. This man, well, what a signing he was back in 2000. Played for his country. Now, which country was it? Emir Kavovic. How do you say it? Kavovic? I'm bad.
Carriage.
Oh, God.
Amir Carriage.
Okay, there we go.
How are you making it longer?
I don't know, mate. I don't know. When I say names, I overcomplicate it. And but anyway.
Amir Carriage
played for which country? He actually played at Euros and a World Cup for his country. Was it Serbia, Slovenia, or Slovakia? As you can see, I've gone
so
very
it's
hazy.
Because you're written Cereba, I'm guessing it's just a typo, right? It's not.
Oh, yeah, must be.
quick question.
Yeah, but possibly. yeah, probably have spelled it wrong. Sorry, any Serbian listeners out there.
I was 6 years old when he played, so I just have That's to fine. Say that.
Yeah, Cereba. Sounds lovely there, Ross.
It does. I'm so sorry.
Sounds a little bit more exotic than Serbia. No offense to Serbia. It's probably a lovely city to visit. It's a lovely country to visit.
But is that the
I've written
answer?
Down, I'm almost doubly, triply sure. Well, I can't. That it's Slovenia. I don't know if you can read that.
Yeah, I was too young to remember. So I'm written Serbia.
I'm
it
sure
it's Slovenia. It is Slovenia. Yeah, he won a lot of caps for Slovenia. I said he played at Euros and World Cup for him. When he's actually
left wing back.
I don't know, mate. I never watched
If you
play.
Just go by specific results in the last 5 years, I would beat you any day, Ben. Just to me, just to point that out.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, next time on the strike, we'll bring that up. We'll definitely bring that up. But yeah, fun fact, Karic is actually managing a women's team in Slovenia. So, nice. He's head coach of a team.
Do you want a fun fact about Slovenia?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know how many islands there are in Slovenia?
Ooh. All right, let me and Ben guess, and closest gets the win.
Yeah.
I'm
going to guess 19.
19.
It's a good number. I like the number 19.
I'm going to go 22. That's probably a lot in it.
I'm not entirely sure, but I think the correct answer is 1, actually. So. Yeah.
Oh.
It's the country in the world who has the most tractors. So that's a bit specific to this podcast, obviously.
Oh.
Well, that is specific to this, Slovenia and Suffolk have a lot in common.
Yeah,
they do.
Absolutely.
They do. I think we played a Slovenian team before, I think. Didn't we? Slovenia Prague, didn't we, in the UEFA Cup?
No, that's Sparta Prague, I think you...
Ooh.
That's Czech Republic.
Ross, move on, buddy.
Move on. Yeah, I don't know how to segue into the question.
I think you're thinking about the Slavia Prague, and that's Czech Republic, obviously.
Ah, bloody hell. Yeah. I'm having an absolute nightmare. Prague, that is in Czech Republic. Yeah, bloody hell. Well, I'm not assuming, Kevin Beattie, his birthday this month. Would have been his birthday, of course. Rest in peace, the legend. Now, he scored his first town goal against Wigan. Oh dear, ladies and gentlemen. He scored his first town goal against which team? What a man, what a legend. That statue is deserved because he was, what a player. I wish I was alive to watch him play. The amount of stories I get told about him. Against which team did he score his first town goal? Was it Leeds, Newcastle, or Sheffield United?
If I get this right, I'm really impressed because I've actually written it down before you gave me the alternatives.
Ooh.
And it's one of those three teams.
God, I love it.
Well, that's good. It's a good start, Ross.
Yeah.
It's one of the ones you've written down.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just going to say mine because...
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'll go in Leeds.
Okay. Sindre, what are you going for? I haven't got the screen
Leeds.
Up. So I can't
it says Leeds. On Leeds.
Yeah.
So I'm on a different page. I'm just double-checking the answer because I thought I had it down, but I didn't. He made his debut, of course, against Man United. But his first goal was against, ladies and gentlemen, in a 3-3 draw against Leeds United at Ellen Road. So, yes, yeah. It is 2-1. Impressive. Very impressive. Question four. Player.
So, yeah. That's
yeah, mine. Love that. Love it. Question four is on this man making his birthday. Alex Matty. His birthday.
Alex Matty. Matty.
Matty.
Who called him Matty?
I do, mate. I do. Maffy. Sorry, Alex. I always bump into Alex in the northern away trips. Always a nice little chin wag with good old Alex. How many goals did he score for Town in 133 games? Of course, closest correct answer gets the point. If you get it bang on, Sindre, if you get it bang on, mate, you get 2 points and you could win. So
this is before my era. I'm just saying.
Me too, mate. Me too. So I don't know.
But I know he scored a hat trick against Norwich.
How did you get Norwich? That's the only thing you need to know. Before half time as well, and then he came off half time with an injury.
And then Bobby Pettit scored two in the second half. He always gets forgotten about.
The DJ.
Yeah, Bobby DJ Petter. Now. Good lad. But yeah, if closest to correct answer gets point. If you get a bang on, boys, and if you're playing at home, hope you're enjoying the strike. It's a bit of a shambles this week, as always, but hope you're enjoying it. We'll start with you, Benny boy. What do you reckon? In 133 games, how many goals did good old Alex Maffey score?
Or Matey, as you written.
Matey, yeah.
I've written down 39.
Oh, I haven't done the H on Matey. Oh, God. 38. Oh. Ooh. Well, no one's got a bang on. But Benny's the closest. It's 47. Oh.
I'm impressed with that. Well done, Alex Maffey. Top man. Yeah.
I just realised I haven't done
great Scottish H. accent. Love it when he's on iFollow or Radio Suffolk.
Yeah, I feel bad. I've done so many typos on this. Oh, poor from me.
Was he a postie? Yeah, at some point?
Yeah. I think he's still working at the Royal Mail as I the last time. Not
only bloody one at the moment.
Yeah, we salute you, Royal Mail people. God's sake. Now we're going to do a tiebreaker because Sindre is our guest. And it is actually connected to a Norwegian Town player. Johnny Parr, of course. Now, how many caps did Johnny Parr win for Norway from 2010 to 2013? So, Sindre, if you get it bang on, you've won. Ben, you've won overall, but Sindre, it's an opportunity for him to steal it. If you get a bang on, you double your points, mate. Double your points.
Thank you. I don't really recall Johnny Parr's international career very much at all. So.
No, the fact that I don't either tells you a little bit about how many games it was.
Or he made his debut against Montenegro in a friendly match in May 2010.
Sorry, what country was that? I'm not sure I've ever heard of that country before.
Montenegro.
Previously known as Cereba Montenegro, I see.
Yeah, oh God. Ben, give me a break. Give me a break, mate. Jesus.
It's educational.
It is, but yeah, if we have any listeners from
Montenegro.
Yeah, that one. Hope you're enjoying the show. Hope you don't
it used to be
me.
Serbia and Montenegro.
Yes, that was a joke I tried to get across. Cereba. Yeah. And Montenegro.
Oh, yeah, because I've spelling everything. Yeah, have I spelt Norway right, Sindre, in this bar down here?
Yeah, not too
much. Unfortunately, you're getting it from all corners here, Ross. Do apologise. I'm going to move on and guess eight.
Yeah, I'm saying six. I'm not sure.
Ooh. If you turn the six to the other way, you've been correct. It's nine. Nine caps for his country.
A little thing quickly between you guys. What does Johnny Parr work with now? Well, that's the question.
Oh, geez, he retired, didn't he?
He retired a year ago. and he has a normal job now.
Normal job.
I'd love it really if he's a golfer, just because, the name. What do you do in Norway?
Same thing as you do in England. It's a really normal job. People like.
I think he's a state agent or something. State agent?
Not too bad. He actually works as a
solicitor.
Used car salesman.
Oh. Ooh. Fun fact of the day.
Nice. And imagine buying your Volkswagen from Johnny Parr.
His aunt was my sister's teacher in primary school. So there's another fun fact for you.
Like it. There we go. Some Johnny Parr.
This is good. This is a great insight into any more Norwegian flight for town that we haven't mentioned.
Bertrand Selina.
Oh, yeah.
Vemund Brekkeskar played three games, I think.
Three games.
And also Michael Crowe, the keeper. He represented Wales, but he talks like fluent Norwegian. So
Yeah.
Cool.
I want to know where Michael Crowe is now. I do remember Michael Crowe. Yeah, he left and he then signed for somebody like in Preston. I think he's at Preston. No, he's not in Preston. He's back in Norway now. He's back in Norway now.
He played one game in the Premier League, Norwegian Premier League, conceded 5 goals and never played again. So,
sorry to hear that, Michael. Hope you're doing all right. So, Ben, you have won the strike this week. Speech, my friend. Started with Josh Harrop and ended with Michael Crowe. Take it away.
I enjoyed the sort of rolling back the years theme, hit different eras. Good questions, Ross. And of course, enjoyed the pronunciations of the different countries. Without that, it wouldn't have been as fun. It would have been just a boring quiz. So
Sorry, Serbia. Sorry, Montenegro, whatever. and Alex Maffey. Sorry. We're gonna be blacklisted, aren't we, from those countries now? No, not allowed. Not loudest Roscoe.
Do we have a strong fan base in Montenegro?
Do you know what? I'm sure if we look at the stats, I'm sure there's probably one or two listeners. You never know. Out of nowhere. You never know. If someone ever visits there for a weekend trip and they want to listen to the Kings Only podcast, they may do. Or if they live there full time, then perfect. If you are a listener from those countries, let us know and I will say my apologies to you. Right then, Ben Diaf, Sindre, let's get into the big talking points. Connor Chaplin is currently our town top goal scorer. He scored his 10th goal, 9th and 10th goal against Peterborough. And the debate at the moment is, do Town need that 20-goaler striker? And Andy did a very good story on, has there been a 20-goaler striker at the club all along in the shadows? Because I didn't know how many goals Connor Chaplin scored until sort of seeing that stat and go, he's 10 goals. Is it double figures already? So, Sindre, how many goals do you reckon Connor Chaplin can score for the rest of the season? And then do you think there will be another person who will become top goal scorer?
No, so I think I have always really liked him. I think he's, as I said on my podcast, Norwegian podcast earlier today, I don't think he's the best striker in the league, or he doesn't play as a striker. But I think he's probably up there in terms of finishing abilities. So I think I'm going conservative. I think he might end up like 17, 18 league goals. So a really good tally for him. But and just quickly on the thing about needing a 20-goal striker, I think the really big talking point is if we need a better striker, not if we need a striker who scores more goals. But the question is, does Ladapo, Hadme, Jackson, if he plays up there, contribute enough in the attacking phase of play? And that's a really interesting thing to talk about. And Chaplin, he scored plenty of goals in the championship and he plays in a team who creates chances. So I think he's good for up to 20, but slightly south of that number in my eyes.
Yeah, because you think about it, he doesn't play as a striker. He's a number 10 and he's come off the bench a few times and he's just that fox in a box, isn't he? Ben, I've just got a little poll here that Andy Warren's done on his story. It's how many goals will Connor Chaplin score in the league this season? 14% have gone 20+. 17 to 19, he's 29%. 15 to 17, so 17 like Sindre, have gone 47% there. 9% have gone just 12 to 14, so maybe two or four more goals.
Wisdom of crowds.
Yes. What do you reckon then, Ben?
I think he'll just miss out on the 20. I've actually got 19. I know it's 10 goals in all competitions, and we'll probably, unless we have an excellent cup run, we won't have as many games in all competitions. And Chaplin's even come out himself, hasn't he? He scores in spits and spurts in terms of he'll score over a few games, and then he'll go for a little bit of a lull. I think he's superb. Just a great player to have at this level. Proven that he'll score you goals. He just picks up some superb positions in the box. Different phases of play that we've practiced, obviously, at training. I think Lee Evans commented on it on the commentary for iFollow at the weekend, that they work on the places where Chapman picks those spaces up in the box. Really great to see him score different types of goals as well, with his head obviously at the weekend, and then shrugging off the player whether he's fouled or not, you know, smashing it into the net. He's a really good finisher. And there's something about Chapman, he just seems such a nice guy. I just think you're even more pleased for a player to perform when they're obviously that great with fans and fellow players on and off the pitch. So I've gone for 19. I'm expecting we'll have a few more players chip in, so it won't be just reliant on him. Interesting what Sindra was just saying about the Dapo and, you know, the number nine, etc. We just share the goals out. We don't need somebody to get 20. If we get a few getting 15, which looks likely, Chaplin with 19, maybe Ladapo, and then Harness coming back sooner than we thought. If he can get close to 15 with Ladapo, that should see us with enough goals to go up in this division. It's the other end then.
Yeah, and just quickly, I think Hull and Cardiff were promoted to the Premier League a few years back, and none of those teams had a player who scored more than 7 goals that season. So it's just basically, do you score enough goals? Do you concede few enough goals? And if the numbers are good and the underlying numbers are good, it doesn't really matter the scores, but people are really obsessed about the focal point up front. And also on Chaplin, he's a best friend of a Norwegian right back who just got relegated with his team. He's a really a lot of top clubs are interested in him, so maybe Chaplin can lure him to town if we need to look to sign a new right back in January. He'll probably be free as well.
What's his name?
Sondre Strand Nilsen. So it's basically my first name with an O instead of an I. And so he's a really attack-minded right back who can play in a 3 and can play in a 4. So maybe Chaplin can whisper him something in the ear, because they play together in Portsmouth, I think, in the academy.
Okay. Well, watch your space, Legend. Watch your space. Sindre, do your business, mate. See if you can help you translate and all that. But if he's played in England before, I'm sure he speaks English anyway. Yes, definitely. All right then, boys. To end the podcast, let's chat about Wickham then. It's going to be cold, Ben. I know you're going to the game. Sindre's going to go, it's not cold, boys. Come on, come the Norway. It's bloody freezing here. But some hot takes, though, going into the game. Wickham, 9th in League One. Sindre, how are you feeling for this one? And some hot takes for the game, from the sublime to ridiculous, my friend.
Yeah, so I surround myself with people who try to relax my bullishness on Ipswich, so to say. And but I just, whenever I watch the team, I think it's a cohesive team, complete team, good players in every position. You have the best keeper, probably, except Michael Cooper at Plymouth, probably. And in the goal, you have some of the best defenders in the league. You have the best central midfielder in the league, plus even a few other players in midfield. And you have star players up front who can create things on their own and together. So I can't see any weaknesses in Ipswich right now. And I think Wickham, the type of team who likes to get the ball forward quickly, I think they are number one in League One for crosses, number 24 in terms of ball possession. So it's going to be a clash of styles, obviously. And in my eyes, if the town can just can get some control of the game, I'm interested to see what kind of pressure Wickham comes with. If they go out pressing high and trying to make it a chaotic game, things are more of a coin flip in my eyes. The bookmakers think that it's probably a bit more than 50% chance of town winning the game. I would probably agree, but it's always a difficult place to go. But I just feel looking back at the Burton game, similar type of team earlier in the season, also Shrewsbury and also Wycombe in McKenna's first proper game last year. I think this is the type of opposition that suits Town well. And if he can just play, just avoid getting hung up in the chaoticness of the game, get some calmness down, keep the ball well, and be patient. Don't get the game. It's basically a game of who wins in terms of style. If Town get their way, I think it will be a really, very comfortable away win. But if it gets chaotic and emotional, Wycombe are a disgustingly difficult team to play against.
Disgustingly. What's your hot take then for the game, mate? In terms of prediction, what do you think is going to happen? Anything random in the game? What's your goal scorer?
Yeah. I think in terms of score prediction, I find it really difficult. Like I just said, I'm a betting man. I have my own the Twitter page, Spillinn, SPILLINN. I share picks from League One. And when I talked about this game earlier, I think I'm struggling to see Town getting going with Wycombe in this chaoticness that I just talked about. So I think this is a game where Town will try to keep the ball a lot and get some control over it. So I think Ipswich to have over 59.5% possession in the game, that means 60% or more, is a good hot take. And also that Town will have fewer corners than usual. I'm really interested in corners. That's my like niche in betting. So I think Town will try and attack through the middle and be because like crossing aimlessly for Chaplin against Ryan Tufosoli or whoever is playing back there for Wycombe is pointless. So Town to have over 60% possession is my hot take. And I just go for a 1-0 win. I just feel it's the type of game for Ladapo. He usually plays in the away games, I have an impression of.
Yeah, definitely. Ben, hot takes, my friend. What do you reckon? Wycombe, how you feeling? You're going to be there in the cold at Adams Park. Big crowd. Wycombe are bringing their fans. We're going to have a great away end. How you feeling?
Looking forward to it. Love an away day. Don't look forward to the parking and shambles of getting away from the ground. But hopefully if we win, I won't care as much. Basically, Cinder, if you've never been to Adams Park, it's right at the end of an industrial estate. Pretty much, it's just a bottleneck of just one single road in and one single road out. So it doesn't matter how far away you are from the ground, along this road, you've got to park somewhere, and then everybody's just coming out the same road. So, of course, the Wycombe car park will be sold out. That's my first hot take.
Great.
Not really hot take, but whether they tweet about it this season, I don't know. Likely it is there'll be a ball because of the way Wycombe play that gets ballooned out of the ground and into said car park. Adams Park is a nice little ground, but not like the fortress. But that's what I enjoy these trips to League One grounds because it does sort of take you to different places you've not been before. Last year was a really chaotic first half that Cinder was just saying, we've got to try and avoid that. And luckily we ran away with the game in the second half. It was a fantastic Tuesday night and that was freezing that night. And I don't think it's going to be much warmer on Saturday. I've put here two little things that I think may happen. I think the wonder kid Cameron Humphreys is due a wonder strike from edge of the box, just outside the box, just in the box. So left foot strike from Cameron Humphreys for one of the goals. And I've also put KDY or Genoi, depending on who plays, to get a shot on target.
Oh,
but I think I'm not going as far as a goal, but I think a shot on target. But I'm a little bit worried about this game. I think whenever we go back to a ground where we did so well the previous year, I think it's a bit superstitious, really. I think as an Ipswich Town fan, there's always a little bit of having a bit of superstition because of years of misery. But McKenna, hopefully, I'm sure he'll watch numerous tapes of Wycombe. They've not been as good as they have been last year. Form-wise, the last few games, they've done a little bit better. Is it Mehmedi?
Mehmeti.
He's having a mare now. He's having a mare now.
The problem is he didn't even know his name in the first place, Ross. So it's even worse, I think. He's certainly their most attacking threat. So I will worry if he's on the left-hand side and Genoa's not playing. KDY is, as we know, his strengths probably lie going further forward. He's not, obviously, by no means. He would get in most teams as a right-back in this division. But that would be one area that I'd worry a little bit. But I'm still confident. I think it'll be a tight game. But I think you've got to predict that we'll nick it. Got to. 2,400, I think. 2,400? 2,000 something we're taking. Yeah. I mean, outrageous. It'll feel like a home game. Can't wait.
Love it. Oh, I'm sorry, Ben. That was a bit rude for me, actually. I sort of laughed
at
you.
No, it wasn't, I give it, I've got to take it.
Yeah. Yeah. Enes Mimiti. Well, I think that's his name. Hello. We've got a nice little special guest on the pod if you're watching on video. It's good old Winnie. Ben's lovely dog.
Darwin?
Not interested. Sindre, not interested at all. But there we go then, boys. Sindre, any other business? It's great to have you back on the pod. Anything else you want to mention?
No, thanks for coming on. And if people are interested in some League One betting tips, just follow my Twitter account. It's SPILLINN. So, I'm a bit of a geek in League One and... it's a pleasure to be so when Town are playing so well. So thanks for coming on, and hopefully everybody will stay safe during the Christmas, and hopefully you English people can stay safe during the heavy amounts of snow that you're getting, and try not to crash every car because all those videos from England when people are crashing in winter they always get laughed at from the Nordic people. So stay safe and take care of the people around you, especially in these days with the electricity crisis and all that.
Top man. Oh, what a lovely fella Ben Sindre is. What a man. It's great to have you back on. We'll get you back on again soon, my friends. Ben, DF, always a pleasure. See you in Wickham. Any other business?
No, see you at Wickham. Can't wait. Hope to see lots of Town fans. Well, I know there's lots going, and I'll say hello to everybody that I know already. We're just a fantastically well-supported club, and it makes you proud to be an Ipswich fan. And meeting someone like Sindre tonight, all the way from Norway, just shows how far the reaches of Ipswich can get into darkest winter Norway. Very nice to meet you, Sindre, a top man.
Likewise.
You're a bit like McKenna with your analytical approach to this podcast. It was fantastic.
Thank you. The same too. And to Ross.
Thank you.
With pronunciations.
Yes, well hosted, Ross. Brilliant, Ross.
Yeah, thank you. But I apologise to anybody who'd been offended by my terrible... But anyway, I hope everyone's enjoyed. Hope you all have a good weekend. Come on the Town. Hopefully another win as we stay top of League One. Of course, big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Manscaped. Use the code KOA to get 20% off and free delivery. I think you just got enough time just for Christmas to fill in your stocking. And then also Ginger Pickle, the goats of marketing. All your marketing needs there, SEO and all that jazz. We'll be back next week for more podcasts, ready for the build up to Christmas. As Sindre said, keep safe out there and see you next time. Bye bye for now.
luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.